The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You could also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, I can't even explain it. Started out with sports, and then it turned into Shrek stuff. So go catch it on podcastarena.com. We do have a college football game tomorrow night. Were you aware of that? It's Sydney, Australia.
No, I wasn't aware of
Cal
that.
Cal and Hawaii are playing.
Oh.
Cal minus 20. I'll have an opinion on it tomorrow. A lot of people asking.
I didn't know that was already starting up. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we'll have a game to bet and watch tomorrow.
Okay.
Pretty much Twitter is blown up over the Shrek thing. So I can't keep track of everybody. So if I missed your tweet, sorry. But I wanted to get back to something, and then we'll grab. Well, let's grab a phone call. Devin has dating advice. We'll see if this works. I'm willing to try anything. What's up, Devin?
Hi, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing sports.
Well, dating as of right now. But this is what I'm like. I heard the guy, and I just want to tell him, contrary to popular belief, if you have the basic necessities of dating, which is a job to treat the girl out, a car to get her around for other extracurricular activities, and somewhere to stay. But that's all you really need. It's not about looks. Because I keep hearing people talk about, oh, you have to look good. It really doesn't matter. It's about how you make that woman feel. It's about how special she is, she feels like she is to you. If you can make a woman feel special and make her feel like she's the one, even if it's temporary, even if the feeling is temporary, you're going to win 9 times out of 10 over the guy that just looks good but treating a woman like trash everywhere. So when it comes to it, if it's rejection anxiety that you have, just go out and date. Just go out and date with the intention of getting rejected. That way, you don't have to have the expectation of, well, she's going to reject me. Well, hey, I've been rejected before. I can take this in a sense of building your confidence slowly to where you can approach any girl you want, to where you can say that you won't feel like you're just stuck in a corner like, oh, maybe I should be on Tinder. Maybe I should be on here. Maybe I should be on this. No, just go out. Get yourself out. See what women are talking about.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice, too.
I'm not sure our guy is ready for that, though.
That's why I say I think Tinder's the easiest way, because there's almost no effort with this thing. I mean, even if you're not photogenic, all it takes is one chick who's going to swipe right. One chick. And that could go down.
It's a confidence thing with him, though. That's the hardest part. And It's funny because the reality is everybody out there is interesting in some way. Everybody. They have something interesting about them. No matter how shy you might be or no matter how much confidence you might lack, you've actually got something interesting about you.
Yeah.
And somebody will find it interesting. And it's just a matter of having enough confidence to not worry about the people who don't find you interesting. Screw them. They're like the 936 texters. We don't really care. And that's... I know that's hard for some people, but I'm telling you, Shrek, there's something about you that people will like. You're already pretty willing to share stuff on air, and you're funny.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point. All right. Get back to football now, or we want to do more Shrek stuff? What do you want to do?
I'm fine with whatever, Fred.
Because earlier, Disco Biscuit had a tweet about his J.J. Watt trying to rush back too fast if he's actually practicing next week. I would be careful with that injury, probably more so with a back injury. I'm always more concerned about re-injuring it. So I wouldn't encourage him to rush. I really wouldn't. And I mean, obviously you want him back as fast as possible. I don't think they're rushing him. I think the guy, the way he works out and everything else, just tends to accelerate his recovery time. Plus, you know, he might be eating some of that Mexican meat. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
But I don't think they'd let him out there before he's ready. Brooke said, just turning in, did this turn into a dating show? Well, Brooke, you're going to have to go back and listen to Podcast Arena. We can't explain to you everything that just happened over the last 20-plus minutes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But
sorry.
Sometimes the show does turn into a dating show.
It does. Sometimes it just...
This is advice for people.
Yeah. We like the people. We want the people to do well, especially Blitzers. So, getting a lot of terrible advice from the last caller, from the texters.
Okay. You want to share some of the terrible advice?
They're all just saying terrible advice. They're not saying why.
They're saying we're giving terrible advice?
No, they're saying the caller was giving terrible advice.
Oh, okay.
I actually kind of liked what he had to say, but that's just me.
You got to kind of be like Carlos Gomez and go out swinging.
That's one way to look at it.
There is that. Because sooner or later, he will hit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And, guys, the batting average, this doesn't even have to be a Carlos Gomez batting average.
No.
So a Brett Wallace batting average.
Dude, if you...
This is Alex Bregman's first week in the majors batting average. You just need to get one.
If you hit one for 20, you're good. You're good. We talked about confidence being an important thing, John. Nothing's going to make him more confident than getting that first one out of the way. It's the same thing that happened with Bregman. And look what happens now.
Twitter tells me
he's hitting 800 over the last 3 weeks.
So more Tim Tebow batting average if you were to join the majors. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Michael Jordan. I mean, you hit one, it's an accomplishment.
Texter says, and now Shrek can say he's been compared to Carlos Gomez.
True.
So that's cool. Well, not for Astros Twitter. Astros Twitter, not cool with Carlos Gomez. But any girl not on Astros Twitter, he'd be fine with. There's a lot of them out there. All right. Now the texts are getting stupid, so we'll move on. 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. If you want to get in. I said, I wonder how bad the back injury was and what OB saying Nick Martin's injury was not bad last week.
Yeah,
that's... It was very strange because he was real quiet about the Martin injury and about the Newton injury and about when Dwayne Brown was going to play. Well, Martin looks like, according to the reports, which we don't know yet for sure, looks like gone for the year. Brown gone for 6 games. I'm guessing if O'Brien's quiet, that's not a good thing. And I haven't heard much on Derek Newton, so.
Nope.
Anyway.
Barry says, and just like Bregman, once you get that first one, the two hole is next.
There you go.
I might want to just be patient with that, Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get one out of...
Wait for them to ask.
Get one out of the infield first. let's try a phone call. Trey.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you, Trey.
Sports. I want to say to Shrek, keep pushing, man. Everybody finds their Fiona at some point.
That's right.
If he can just keep pushing, I think he'll make it.
Trey, you get laid, right?
I will confirm nor deny that.
Okay. I think Trey...
I think Trey gets laid, and he
looks like a juggalo.
Oh, go ahead.
I thought you were a juggalo when I met you, and you're getting laid.
Well, I'll confirm nor deny your previous sentiment.
Okay.
But
I'm gonna ask you at Rock the Mic. Then you're gonna have to answer up then.
I know. I'm gonna have to come up with something pretty quick.
Yeah, we need to know what's going on with you. If we're gonna put you in charge, I need to know what kind of stress relief exercises you go through and things like that.
Yeah, I got plenty of stress relief exercises, but I'll save it for tomorrow.
All right, I don't want someone with a bunch of pent up no sex rage working at this station.
Oh, no,
we got enough of those.
Here. I'm as cool as a cucumber. Right. I don't even like Juggalos.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to ask, what do you think the chances are Covington has a heightened role on the defense, even if Watt comes back from his injury and plays well?
I think it's almost a certainty. I think that's he's kind of established himself as I don't know if he's officially been named the starter, but I would assume that guy's got to be.
I kind of thought all along when they let Jared Crick go that they thought Covington would be the guy to fill that role.
Yeah.
And
because I mean, really, what are the other options? Devin Still?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he's the best option.
And
it's another example of a late draft pick who looks like he can be something. You know, it's the second through fourth round picks that they can't seem to do anything worthwhile with. But if you're like a sixth, seventh round pick, oh, they'll find you a spot on the team. You could make it.
That's the thing. If Covington were a second round pick, you'd be saying, okay, he should be starting this year.
Yeah,
I think he'll be pretty good. And
like, what other GM can say he hits on more 5, 6, 7 round picks than 2, 3, 4 rounds?
I'd actually have to go research every GM in the NFL.
But I mean, this is definitely the one that does, right?
Oh, he does. I'm sure other guys. No, I'm not sure other guys do. I don't know. I'd have to go research every single one of them, and I'm not that motivated. Hey, you know what we're gonna do today at 5:30? We're gonna talk a little fantasy. Our buddy Christopher Harris returns.
Nice.
Hey, is he back with ESPN, John? You say?
Oh crap! I forgot to change. No, he's not.
Thank God! I saw that before. I actually read that before we had him on.
Hey, did Shrek email the picture?
I haven't gotten anything yet.
Come on, Shrek.
It's Jong, J-O-N-G. Okay.
J-O-N-G dot Lee.
L-E-E.
At Gal Media.
At galmedia.com. G-O-W for Gal Media. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Here's an interesting question from 832. Why would someone say I could neither confirm nor deny getting laid while on radio? Shouldn't you confirm even if you have to deny?
Here's an interesting question.
It is raining.
Yeah, it's always raining.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time it didn't rain, at least a little bit on my way to work.
Today was bad. I left early because they were fixing the air conditioning in my place, so the entire building was just steaming. When I went in the gym today, it was just brutal, and I got back upstairs and it was worse. I'm like, screw this, I'm gonna go do something somewhere else. And I left around 1 and the streets were flooded downtown. And it's crazy. The stuff's got to stop. Oh, and here we go. Already do you see that there's a tropical wave in the Gulf that could wind, or in the Atlantic, that could wind up in the Gulf next week as a tropical storm? Great. Or hurricane.
Great.
If it develops, it will be Tropical Storm Hermine. That is a terrible name. Why not make it Hermione? Let's make it, tie it to something. Hermine? What kind of name is that? Have you ever known a Hermine?
No.
Do they not want to offend people anymore?
Is that a girl name or a guy name?
I don't know.
That's made up.
Well, they're showing all the tracks, and all the tracks put it into Florida, of course. And then there's one track that sends it into the Gulf after us.
Okay.
You know how they have all those little spider web things? And it's all the projections.
Right. All the places it could go.
Yeah, and for some reason, the Canadian one always gets it right. Well, they have it going to Miami. So about 15 of them have it going into Florida, and one of them has it coming into the Gulf. So we don't have to worry about it. Those are pretty good odds. Hey, let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Justin, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, I was wondering how you all feel about Nebraska's chances on having a 9-win season, and then I guess a follow-up with if they have a season like they did last year, if they would be looking for a new head coach.
I think Nebraska's not going to have a 9-win season. I'm almost certain they won't, and mostly because of the coach they've got.
And you should be looking for a new coach. I thought that was a terrible hire at the time. I've said that since they hired him, and I think Nebraska should be able to do better than that. And I think you traded down in coaches, which you have to be careful with sometimes. And I think Pelini was a better coach. The results were certainly better. 713-780-ESP. Did you see the other Diaz is in the news? Well, first off, Nate thought he won the fight. I'm sure you saw that.
Of course. He didn't.
No, he didn't. I wish he had, but he didn't. Did you see what happened with Nick Diaz?
I saw he got jumped in a nightclub.
He got into a bathroom outside the club, accidentally bumped into somebody who started talking trash. Now, I don't know if I buy this part. Diaz reportedly didn't want to start any problems. That doesn't sound like Nick Diaz. I didn't start it. They didn't know who I was. Okay. So four of them go after him. It spills into the casino. And he was being attacked with chairs, and everyone involved was removed by security. When it was over, Diaz said he didn't want to press charges because they got the worst of it. So, four guys versus Nick Diaz. Yeah, I'm probably taking Nick Diaz.
I probably am, too.
And Vegas, man, there's fights there all the time now. We got to start being careful there, man. It's getting crazy. But that was at a club outside the Bellagio. Now, I don't ever go any clubs, so no. I guess we're safe. But I'm not going to go pick a fight with Nick Diaz for any reason. That's just kind of dumb.
Not a good call.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. I totally did not realize that Cal Hawaii was tomorrow.
I didn't either.
Yeah, that's I guess you got to give him time to get back from Australia.
Yeah. God, that means I'm not going to be really comfortable capping that game because it's in Australia.
Well, it's just like a home game for Hawaii, right?
Kind of.
It's on an island. I need to dive into it a little bit tomorrow, but I'll have a play. I got to play the first game of the year. I have a much better feel for it. Cal's minus 20, by the way. Pretty big number. But they've got...
I'm sure I'll come up with something.
Yeah. Yeah. Landon says 99 out of 100 times those tropical storms always miss. Wouldn't worry too much. I'm not worried because on my tropical storm / hurricane predictions over the last 15 years, I'm 57-1. I was wrong on Ike. Okay, that was a little
that
bit.
That was a bad one.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, that's all right.
On weather predictions in general, 79-2. And, John, I don't know if you remember the other one I missed when they said it was going to snow and we were over at the old place and it was you and me and Matt Dean. And I think we were filling in for Calvin Murphy. I'm like, there's no way it's snowing in Houston. This isn't going to happen.
And it snowed.
It started snowing and I'm like, that's not snow. That's sleet. That's wet ice, and then it turned into real snow. And I was like, okay, I lose 79-2. Oh, well. That one wasn't a bad one. And Brooke showed me the Hermine forecast that has it all over the place. That's pretty good. Yeah, I never worry about those things. The ones that get us are usually the ones that form in the Gulf and then hit us within a couple of days before we're ready for them.
Yeah, not ones that come from way far away.
Yeah, Ike was one of those, but for the most part, the ones that are out... They always turn into Florida or turn into the Atlantic or they go get northern Mexico. So we should be safe. Niles wants to know, do you guys think Altuve will still be with the Astros 3 years from now, considering him changing his agent?
I think he's under contract for 3 years.
Yeah, I think he's under contract for 3 more years, so I guess 4 would be the question. Honestly, I don't know if the Astros are going to pay him. And when you're talking about
this, is what we've been talking about is one day the time will come where the Astros have to pay Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve. And we're not talking about, you know, tens of millions of dollars. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And are the Astros going to be willing to do that? I mean, it's a long way away, so who knows? But it's hard for me to imagine them doling out a $150, a $200 million contract to one of those guys, much less both of them. You know what I mean?
It looks like he's under contract through 2019, if I read this right.
Okay.
At 4.5 in 2017, 6 in 2018, and 6.5.
Gosh.
That is a bargain for that guy.
Yeah, they got so lucky. He signed the worst contract. They got so lucky.
Well, he signed a contract for a guy who what it looked like what he was at the time.
I don't even know if that's the case, though.
And, well, it was, 2013 when he signed his extension.
That's still pretty good value, I think.
Yeah, but he wasn't a batting champion yet.
No.
He was just a guy who hit 300 and... Yeah, that was about. He was their best player.
But what kind of guy in 2013 signs a 6-year deal for that kind of money?
Well,
that's a bad agent.
Well, that's why he's got a new one.
Yeah, I'll play for 2 years on that money, and then we'll talk again.
And here's why he shouldn't have done that. He would have been eligible for arbitration from 2015 through 17, and then eligible for free agency after next season. This buys out his final pre-arbitration year and all three arbitration years, and the options cover two free agent years. So,
yeesh.
I got to double check on this because
they've got him under control for a while.
Yeah,
but like I said, when the day comes,
$6 million club option for a 5th year and a 6.5 for a 6 year. So yeah, that was right. Wow.
One day that it will come that they'll have to make a decision, and my guess is they're not going to want to do that.
Patrick says, can you imagine how out of control the Raiders games are going to be when they move there? I don't think that the Vegas fans are going to be worse than Oakland fans. I don't see that. Now, yeah. Raiders fans tend to go anywhere. They were that way when they were in L.A.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll travel to Vegas for that. But I don't think you're going to see quite the same environment in Vegas because you're going to have a lot of people from out of town at those games. I think that's because it's such a tourist destination. So many people go in there. Every team, that's going to be the road trip people do. If you're a Texans fan and Texans are playing at the Raiders, you're probably picking Las Vegas. Because by now you've been to Jacksonville and Nashville and pretty much everywhere. All right, a little fantasy football talk coming up next with our man, Christopher Harris. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I love that music. And I love that we're having this guest on because it means it's almost football time.
Yeah.
If you're new to the show, this is our, well, not our own personal fantasy football expert because he has his own website and he's kind of a big deal, but he joins us every week. Christopher Harris, harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at harrisfootball. Christopher, how have you been, my friend? Good to have you back on.
Thank you very much. I've been very well. How have you guys been?
Sportsy.
Yeah. It's been worse.
Yeah.
It's been worse. This is for fantasy purposes, I don't know if I remember a time where the first three guys on most people's boards are wide receivers. Is this something that the game has changed or are people's strategies changing? Why is it that wide receiver is suddenly more prioritized than running back?
The impolitic answer would be because people are sheep and someone said it and everyone started to follow it. You know, I think you could probably justify it in your mind to say, oh, it's a passing league. I don't have it that way. I'm not saying I'm right necessarily, but I do think there's maybe a little less thought than we would all imagine that goes into everybody having that rank. I think sort of few people have that rank and they say it's a passing league and other people go, yeah, good point. I was scared by running backs last year. I think we just have, like, as a fantasy football society, we sort of have like a head trauma that we can't remember very long. Maybe like last year is all we can remember when some running backs got hurt. You know, in a point per reception league, sure. Pretty clearly, I would put those top three guys, you know, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, at my top of my board. But in a standard league, I'm not saying it's dumb to have it that way, but I think sort of unquestioningly having it that way is a little dumb. I think the most scarce position in fantasy is the stud running back that you trust. There's a heck of a lot more wide receivers that are great that I trust than running backs that are great that I trust. So I have to say, in a standard league, if I'm picking at the top there, I'm going to pick a running back.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the most scarce commodity, because I've got to say, in the mock drafts that I've done, and I have my actual my first real draft this weekend, if you don't get Rob Gronkowski, I don't know if there's another tight end that I really even want on my team. I mean, that seems like a huge cliff to walk off of if you don't get Gronk.
And yet I'm going to walk off it because the opportunity – oh, great, he's great. I mean, he's way better than the number two tight end, 100% agree. Maybe to some degree I'm splitting hairs by saying I rank him like number 22 instead of number 10. Or, you know, like, okay, we're all agreeing he's really good. I just think that if you take Gronk and you do a mock draft where you take Gronk in the first round in a 12-team draft and then look at the rest of your team, I think you get sad in a way that you don't get sad if you wind up with whatever, you know, like Zach Ertz as your tight end and then using that first-round Gronk pick on something else, a little bit of a scarcer commodity. I'm with you that Gronk is sort of a commodity in and of himself, but because the position just doesn't tend to spread out point-wise the way the other positions do, I tend not to take Gronk in the first round.
Christopher Harris, our guest, fantasy football expert. Chris, take it to the Texans for a minute. Obviously, Hopkins is a valuable commodity. Is there anybody else that intrigues you on this offense? And where would you put Lamar Miller in terms of where he should be drafted?
Yeah, he's certainly intriguing. You know, I know that the optimists and the best case scenario for Lamar Miller would be he gets through a season where somebody gives him 300 touches and he becomes well worth a first round fantasy pick. I would never say to somebody who's optimistic that they shouldn't be optimistic, but you know, I do have some questions that, you know, several coaching administrations seem to come to the same conclusion about Lamar Miller. And I've observed on film that while the raw tools are awesome, sometimes there are some moments that aren't quite as awesome. And I feel like he zigs when he should zag and maybe drops the ball when he shouldn't. And, you know, maybe that's something that his coaches saw in Miami, but maybe not. You know, it's too small of a sample size to be definitive. And I wouldn't be too upset if someone said that he's a fantasy first rounder. The opportunity looks like it should be pretty good. I don't love anyone else there. You know, I did a podcast. I've lost track of the days, but someday this week I did a show where I talked about 10 breakout players, and I put Will Fuller on that list. Of course, we don't know what it's really going to look like. We don't really know how much an ancillary receiver for Brock Osweiler. I call him Brock Osweiler, but Osweiler, whatever. You know, I'm not sure he has enough throws in him in this offense to have any single other receiver be enough of a star to be a fantasy starter. But, you know, let's say that Will Fuller could be Ted Ginn. You know, that'd be all right. Last year that worked out okay, you know, as a deep threat. It would be great if he sort of emerged from that group of number two potential receivers. So he's on my radar screen as someone who could be taken in all leagues for sure.
Go up north a little bit to Dallas. A friend of mine was in a draft the other night. Zeke Elliott went number one overall, which obviously there were Cowboy fans in the draft. But what do you do with Zeke Elliott? Where do you put him? And I've been talking all week about maybe some value in Alfred Morris in later rounds. How do you look at that situation?
I think I'm with you. I think I would almost, if we're talking value, I'd almost rather take Morris than I would Elliott. Elliott's, if I had my choice between the two and there was no price tag, obviously I want Elliott, but yeah, you're just going to have someone excitable in your draft. And I know right now we have a lot of people in the great state of Texas who are very excited about Zeke. And, you know, we're all going to be watching him tonight. It's going to be fun. You know, he's going to break one for 99 yards. And then he's not going to go first overall. He's going to go, like, zeroth overall. Is that possible? Can you take somebody, like, sooner than first in a draft? Another player who, just risk-wise, I wouldn't be taking in the first round, although I recognize, listen, sometimes I say stuff like that, and I'm talking about a league where you know, it's a 12-teamer. Everybody's really paying attention. You know, the waiver wire is really competitive. If you're in a league where you can kind of find your solution, you can usually get what you need off the waiver wire, take Miller in the first round. Take Elliott in the first round. Gronk in the first round. Those are upside guys. Totally cool. I think that's great. When there's a little more risk, someone like Zeke, I think he's going to be a good player. But, you know, Adrian Peterson in his rookie year, Chester Taylor had like 180 touches or something. You know, teams sometimes do this with rookies. As good as they might be, we don't know whether they're going to protect him. And, of course, the hamstring's been an issue. So, you know, I guess in a competitive league, I would be more apt not to take Elliott in the first round. But, again, you know, if you're drafting for upside, there's not too many guys who have that kind of upside.
Speaking of guys that people don't know where to draft, Le'Veon Bell, his suspension goes from 4 games to 3. I still don't want to take him in the first round. I've seen him go in the first round a couple times. Where do you slot Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I don't have him in the first round either. My first round looks like a few running backs at the very top and then a whole lot of wide receivers, honestly. And then sometimes Doug Martin like sneaks in at the back end of the first round. And Bell, for me, missing 3 games, it's so tough. You know, it's so tough. Again, if you're in a league where you can get solutions, Bell in the first round is great. If he didn't have the suspension and if he didn't have the knee issue, which I don't think we know for sure, if not an issue longer term, you know, for this season yet, he would be my number one overall player in all formats. He's phenomenal. He's one of the best players in the league, and you know, he's on a good offense, and they use him just wonderfully. Like, I love the guy, but I'm with you. I don't think I would be wanting to take him in the first round. And, you know, if anybody who does a mock draft where they take Bell early, you know, they realize, oh, my goodness, it's the 5th round, and I have to take D'Angelo Williams, otherwise I'm going to lose him. You, again, start not liking your team very much. You feel good about pairing those Steelers, and then you realize, I don't have a lot else.
The strategy I've gone with for a while at quarterback is I'll let the other 11 teams draft a quarterback and I'll try and get the 12th and 13th guy on my board. Is this a season where you'd feel comfortable doing that, or is quarterback more of a priority with the group that you've got this year available?
No, I'm with you. You know, listen, if I'm in sort of a draft where everybody is doing that and Cam Newton's falling into the 4th round, I'll take him. You know, or I have found that Russell Wilson is someone, if I'm in a wise guy draft and the quarterbacks are falling, sometimes the bargain on Russell Wilson gets too good and I have to take him. But other things being equal, assuming it's a draft where quarterbacks go relatively early, 100%. It's the strategy, you know, it's the late round quarterback strategy. It's the thing that, as long as you're in a league where you only start one QB, I'm only drafting one, and frankly, I'm only rostering one. I can find solutions. I can stream in most leagues and find an okay guy to get in any given week. Yeah, I mean, Tony Romo, probably in Texas, maybe not going to be available, but in a lot of leagues, Tony Romo is somebody I get. Phillip Rivers I get. Matt Ryan I get. Derek Carr I get. I'm fine with all of them. I feel like they're all just good enough. They're all fine. And again, it gives me a bigger quiver of arrows, so to speak, where I can, you know, take a shot at the scarcer positions in earlier rounds.
Christopher, one last one for you about a couple sleepers out there for that you could throw the people. There's a guy that I was really on early in camp, and Sammy Coates out of Pittsburgh, and he's going way too high, so I can't really call him a sleeper anymore. But you got anybody like that you might be able to get some value on later in the drafts?
I've mentioned him so many times on the podcast on various lists to the point where I'm surprised he's not going like in the 3rd round. But Philip Dorsett, we're talking late. We're talking outside the top 100, if that's what a sleeper is. But I have him inside my top 50 receivers. I am not as high on T.Y. Hilton as a lot of folks. I like Hilton as a player a lot. I'm not even saying that I know how the game plan is going to go. I just look at the skills of the players. For me, Hilton's kind of a super, super fast run in a straight line, but not really like a broken field, amazing player. For me, Dorsett, I remember him at Miami. I mean, he is just as fast as Hilton, but he's just so quick. And, you know, it reminds me somewhat of the Brandon Cookses and the Antonio Browns. No guarantee for sure that Dorsett's even a major part of the game plan, but I don't need him to be if I'm going to be taking him in the whatever, 10th, 11th, 12th round. So I'm winding up with him a ton. You know, running backs are harder to come by that you feel great about that late. You know, I'll look to maybe I wind up with Doug Martin a lot, so I've often get Charles Sims in those rounds just to make sure. If I wind up with Devontae Freeman, I'm taking Tevin Coleman in those rounds. we mentioned Alfred Morris. I don't think, even if you don't draft Zeke Elliott, I don't think Morris is a terrible idea because, again, first of all, you know, he's a rookie. We don't really know how Elliott reacts to the NFL. Injuries possible. He's already had a hamstring problem. And then also, it could be a nice little commodity at some point for the Elliott owner in your league if, in fact, Zeke is getting, you know, 13 touches a game, that Elliott owner is going to start to get itchy.
Christopher, tell the people what you got going on with the website, about your podcast, and let them know where they can get all your information.
Yeah, harrisfootball.com. I think if you go there, you'll get it all. You can follow me at harrisfootball. The podcast is 5 days a week now. It has been all through August, and you know, kind of got about a week and a half to go of the preseason. I'm finding stuff to talk about still. I think these past couple of days, I've given some super deep sleepers. I've planted my flag on some players. I've told you five busts for the season this week. So, yeah, I would appreciate it if folks would, if they like podcasts, maybe give it a try. That's how Daddy pays the mortgage now.
All right, Christopher. As always, man, a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again next week, and welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Guys, I got to tell you, if you're looking to spruce up the way your backyard's looking, Carvestone is the way to go from Allied Outdoor Solutions. This stuff is really a game changer. If you've got a backyard where you're not wanting to go spend time out on the back porch because you've got an old ugly patio or a grayed out pool deck, Carvestone will cover that stuff up. Carvestone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trial and hand carved, custom colored for your home, so it looks great. It's durable, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. It's going to make your place look like it's brand new. I mean, it's going to look like a different place. It really is an unbelievable product, and when you compare it price-wise to tearing everything out and starting all over, it'll blow your mind. They can help you with residential and commercial projects. If you don't have anything in the backyard, they can build from the ground up. With all this stuff, I don't know why people would not choose Allied to do their backyards. They're their 2015 Angie's List Super Service Award winner. They've got a ton of monthly payment options, 0% financing for up to 18 months. There's too many reasons to go with these guys. Get a Carvestone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway. I think that's the best way to get a feel for what they can do. But if you don't have time for that, that's all right. Go to the Carvestone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys Seahawks NFL, 9 p.m. tonight, presented by Berryman Automotive Products on ESPN 97.5. Berryman Automotive Products, all American made since 1918.
And we're back on the Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com.
I'm curious what you have if you don't have one of those.
You've got a flip phone like Andrew Luck.
I think Windows Phone is not considered an Android.
Okay.
As long as we know. All right.
But you can stream on a Windows Phone too, right?
I think if you can go to the website, you can.
Okay.
But I don't think it's available to download.
Gotcha.
Anything else you want to plug about the website while we're here? Anything up there besides our Rock the Mic contestants?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just giving you that option. It's a good time to do it when we're talking about the app. Yeah, that is a really good app, the ESPN 97.5 app. So if you're one of those people who've been listening on the ESPN app, just get rid of that and get this one. All right. I have some great choices today for Gym of the Day. So maybe I should let you guys vote on what you want. I'll just give you... Well, let's do the song first. This is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. I'm just going to read the headline from each one of these, and you guys pick the gem you want.
Okay.
How does that sound? Number one, independent league baseball player hit a grand slam that smashed the windshield of his own truck.
No.
That's one. Drunk lady got arrested at a Dairy Queen because she was convinced it was a McDonald's and kept ordering Happy Meals.
Let me hear what else you got.
And finally, goalie robs Canadian beer store wearing full pads.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. Plus, I get to make fun of my Canadian friends and family with this one. But apparently, okay, so this will be your gym. This happened in a Canadian store. A break-in occurred at the Russell C Store beer vendor. Video surveillance caught a man entering the store wearing a ball cap and his face covered. Shortly after, a goalie entered the store to assist the first man in carrying away several cases of beer. He was described as having a medium build, wearing goalie pads, blocker and trapper, and carrying a goalie stick, completely ready to play.
So he had a glove?
Yes, had a glove. Well, he had a stick. He had a trapper, yes. He did have a trapper.
That's what they call it?
Yeah, so he was in a full hockey gear. I'm kind of piecing together what probably happened here. Drunken hockey league game. Place is closed. They want beer. Break in. He goes in, too.
Sounds about right.
But
I can picture that.
Police are reviewing surveillance, and investigations are ongoing. So, jeez.
Oh, Canadians. They're such a bunch of hosers.
I'll say this because I, you know, obviously got some ties to Canada. They got a lot of Florida in them. There's a lot of weird stories.
I mean, it's a big country.
It is. Oh, it's 30 million people. That's about what Florida's not that much less than that, right?
Right.
So it's not quite as crazy, but stuff like this had, like stealing Zambonis when you're drunk, and, you know, what was the guy with that snuck all the turtles across the border? You know, HGH. There's some stuff going on up there. So goalie guy. Oh, geez. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. Another hour in the book.
I've got an Olympic story, an Olympic follow-up story.
Yeah?
In fact, a Ryan Lochte follow-up story.
I have a Hope Solo follow-up story.
Okay.
That we can do.
I feel like these two, Hope Solo and Ryan Lochte, could team up on this endeavor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting question. All right, we got a lot to go. God, I can't believe it's 2 hours in already. The
shows have been going by fast.
Yeah, is it just us, or have the shows been flying by this week?
It's been flying by.
Yeah.
Well, we spent two segments on dating advice, which was always just fun.
Yeah. Well, I think almost every day this week we've fallen off on something that was fun that we had nothing to do with anything. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.